Hello and welcome to the Spiritual Iron Podcast. My name is Jeremiah Settle, and next to me is the Devin Singleton. Say hello, Devin.
Hello, Jeremiah Settle Toe.
All right. So, single toe. Yes. All right. So, what we're going to be doing today is talking about and answering some questions that the Church of Christ supposedly cannot answer.
Yes, that's correct. And I don't think these are hard to really understand, but someone needs to answer them.
Yes.
And we're going to do that today.
Yes, we sure are. And one thing, listener, one thing you're going to see about our podcast is that we always have our Bibles open. We will give you scriptural references for what we're talking about, and we're going to be reading from our Bibles. So you can't say, hey, you weren't using scripture. Yeah, yes, we were. And if you are someone who's trying to find a group of people, a group of Christians who are studying their Bible, that's what we're trying to do. And we worship at the Chesapeake Church of Christ here at Chesapeake, Virginia. And I can guarantee you, when we worship together, when we have our Bible studies together, guess what? We're always opening up our Bibles, are we not, Devin?
That's right.
Yeah, because only through the Word of God can we be transformed. So here's what we're going to do. The first question that we have, and we'll post a link to some of these questions, that way you can read them later. But the first question that we have that we're going to be answering for this episode is, according to the history of the Church of Christ, God used certain men to restore the New Testament church in the early 1800s. Where was the true New Testament church before then? Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church, Matthew 16:18. What happened to the church, and where was the truth it was responsible for preaching before God restored it?
Yeah, so I think the first thing we should do here, just to set a baseline, foundation, whatever you want to call it, is let's turn to Matthew 24, verse 35. And just to set some context here, Jesus starts talking about the second coming, his second coming. And what's important is, no one knows the day or the hour except for the Father. But verse 35 of chapter 34 in Matthew says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So this is Jesus talking, right? So his words by no means will pass away. Why is that important? Well, the question here is saying, hey, there was just men in the 1800s who, you know, said that the New Testament church needed to be restored. Where was it? The answer is it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think because of who is speaking right here is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Son of God. Right. Also, we see at the very beginning of John that he was the Word, and now he's the living Word. So what he says is an absolute guarantee,
yes,
because he's God. And as we know in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, that God cannot lie.
Right. That's right. And I think also it would be beneficial for us to go and read Matthew 16:18. That was cited in the question.
Mm-hmm, it was.
And that is something we in the church, we like to cite it a lot. So like I said, let's go on and read that. Verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter. Actually, let me go back to, I'll start at 13. I think this context is good.
Okay.
When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So this is an important confession. It's a confession that every Christian needs to make, not only when they're converted, but for the rest of their life.
Absolutely.
But that's also important context for what verse 18 says. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So the Father in heaven has revealed to Simon that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay. And then verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, which is Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So that context is very important. And the reason I did that is obviously the Catholic Church today claims that they claim that Peter was the first pope. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, they're placing Peter above Jesus here, which is just, it's wrong.
Right.
But wanted to read that because the church is built on Jesus. And you don't see many denominations today. Where did they stem from? Not Jesus.
Right. Other men teaching other things. I'm looking at the question, and I'm glad we brought this up because there's something that we can see in verse 19. Mm-hmm. So the writer of this question is saying that, unless I'm misreading it, I hope I'm not, he was saying that according to Church of Christ, parentheses, Church of Christ,
right,
doctrine or teaching, that there were certain men who found the truth, and then therefore they restored the church and brought it to what it actually needs to be. We are trying to make a claim that we do know of men in America, I say in America for a reason, that they saw denominationalism and how it was wrong according to Scripture, and they were making a claim, hey, we do not want to follow other denominational practices,
right,
but all we want to do is just go back to the Bible and be people of the Bible and call ourselves after names or descriptions of what we see in the Bible. And I know that he talks about some other people like that and these later questions that we'll get to. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Devin, have you heard people say that the Church of Christ is just another denomination? Yes. And we started like in the 1800s?
Yeah, the common claim is that we're followers of Alexander Campbell, mm-hmm, and often we'll be called Campbellites. What's interesting to me about that is if you go and ask, I don't know, 90 to 95% of the members of the Church of Christ, most of them could tell you, yeah, I know of Alexander Campbell, but I have no idea what he taught.
Right.
If we were following him, I guarantee you most of them would know what he taught. But something that's interesting is he wasn't even the first Restoration preacher in America.
Right.
His father was before him, and then even before his father, there was others.
Mm-hmm.
Just to cite names, I don't have quotes off the top of my head from them, because again, the Bible is our authority.
Right.
These men are not. But Raccoon John Smith is a popular one, and there's a couple others. But when you look at their quotes and their writings and their teachings, the common theme is, hey, we need to leave these man-made creeds, and we need to get back to God's creed.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible, that's what we need to get back to, because they saw a problem with, most of the time they were Presbyterian or Baptist. I think Methodist was also a popular one at the time.
And of course, Catholic yes, was too, Catholicism. Yes.
But these men were coming out of these Protestant denominations, and they were realizing, hey, these man-made creeds, they're not what we should be living by.
Mm-hmm.
We should be living by the Word of God. That's the common theme when you look at these restoration preachers.
Yeah, and the truth is, I don't want to be a part of something that another man established.
Agreed.
If so-called Alexander Campbell did establish the churches of Christ, I don't want to be a part of it.
Agreed.
I've done the research on this. I know you've done the research on it. And Campbell, when you actually do some of the history of him, he was saying, I don't want to be somebody new. He was saying, I just want to mainly go back to the Bible, which you read. And I think I think people who hear that for the first time, they're shocked because, well, it's something normal for us now to see all these different denominations.
Right.
But what we see is a plea to go back to unity. And where do you find unity? In God's Word.
Yep.
Go ahead.
A scripture that we often hear, but not very many people do, is there in Ephesians 4,
mm-hmm.
beginning with, we'll start with verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the two keys there, one body, for what we're talking about.
Right.
One body and one faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's interesting because you often hear the phrase, I'm of the Baptist faith, or I'm of the Methodist faith, or you, whatever name people are putting there, they'll say, I'm of this faith. You're not of the Bible faith?
Yeah.
And that is our goal. We want to be of that one faith that's found in the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. And when we preach the gospel, we're preaching about the one faith. We're preaching about the one body, as we see. And we know the body is also referred to as the church. You look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about that one church, that one body,
yeah, absolutely.
How people can be a part of. And that's what those people during the 1800s were trying to make a move towards. Hey, we want to be a part of that one body that we can read in Scripture. So the fact is, these men realized the church has always been there. It's just up for men to make sure they are doing what God has said to be a part of that church. And I think we're gonna look at a couple of verses to just show and to emphasize that the church has always been there throughout God's plan, ever since Pentecost. Now, we're gonna go to a few Old Testament scriptures, and you're gonna see a reference to the kingdom. And that's important because there's some denominations who say that there is no kingdom right now. The kingdom does not start until Jesus comes back. Well, let's look at Scripture. We're going to turn there. Hopefully, you'll turn there as well. Let's go to Daniel, right? Daniel mm-hmm. chapter 2.
Yep.
All right, Daniel chapter 2 and was it verse 44, right?
Verse 44. This is important. I think the context is, this is where Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and he doesn't understand it, and he calls a bunch of his people there in Babylon to come interpret it for him. None of them can understand it. And then finally he gets to Daniel, who can understand it. And it's the statue where you have the four sections of it, and each section represents a different kingdom. And we get to verse 44, and we're talking about the ultimate kingdom, and we'll read about that. So there in verse 44 of Daniel 2, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Yeah, so I mean, right here, this is a prophecy of something to happen.
Yes.
And we know that all these other kingdoms are mentioned. And when we go through this deeper study, we know that to be some of the major, I guess, ancient kingdoms of that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Babylon is right there.
Yep.
We know the Medo-Persian Empire.
Yep.
We know Greece is talked about. We know even Rome is talked about.
Yep.
But we see that there's going to be another kingdom that is going to be far greater
yep.
than all those, and it's going to destroy all those kingdoms.
Right.
And I think we have another passage as well in Daniel. What is it?
It's chapter 7, verse 27. That says, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
Yeah. So here's something interesting. When you start reading this, it says, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatest of the kingdoms under the whole heaven, it says right here, shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's the Most High?
God is.
Yeah. But I think that's primarily focusing on a particular person of the Godhead, and that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go back to our passage in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 16. You know, we read a verse that this man brought up, all right? And we hold, I believe he's right with this verse, you know? Talking about how Jesus is going to build his church.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to deny it, because you look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, we read this already. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, this confession of Christ and understanding who Christ is, he said, I will build my church, singular, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What I think is interesting, though, Devin, is when you go to the next verse, and it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Hmm.
And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So right here in verse 18, he just starts talking about the church.
Yep.
Verse 19, he starts talking about the kingdom of heaven. What's interesting is, in order to make it to heaven, you got to be a part of the church. And when we see that in the rest of Scripture. Now, we have a couple of verses. I want us to see that the kingdom is in play when we read the New Testament.
And I want to, there's actually a way I want to do this.
Okay, go ahead.
We don't have this written down. But before we started recording, you mentioned Joel.
Yep.
It's Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And then after we read that, we'll go to Acts 2. But this question can be answered there in Daniel 2:44 when this kingdom was set up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Daniel 2:44, it starts, and then in the days of these kings, those kings are the Romans. The Romans are that last kingdom that would be in place when the kingdom of heaven was established.
Yes.
But we know that through other scriptures. So let me turn to Joel 2, 28 through 32. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a prophecy,
right,
of what's going to happen in the future. This prophecy is cited on the first day of Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, which is in Acts 2.
Right.
So let me just go over there so I can give the verses where it is quoted. It's quoted there when Peter starts preaching in verse 14 through verse 21. So that's when, this is the day that the church is established.
Right.
And then there's also other prophecies that are quoted here in Acts 2.
And I want to say something real quick.
Go ahead.
And just in case a listener is saying, and I don't agree with that. If you look actually at Acts chapter 2 and verse 16, Peter flat out says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Right.
He says who's speaking this, Joel. And you can read verbatim verses 17 through 21, how it matches up with what we just read in Acts chapter 2.
Yes.
I'm sorry, in Joel chapter 2.
Yes, yes. So this is where the church is established, here in Acts chapter 2.
Right.
Okay. So now we can go to where you wanted to go with, we're currently, we're still in the kingdom. the kingdom times.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, Jesus is emphasizing here that there's an importance of the church
mm-hmm.
that he's going to build, and also the importance of the keys to the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So right here, Peter is focused on in Acts chapter 2 when we think about it. Now, when people obey the gospel, do they not have the opportunity to have their sins forgiven, and they have access now to the entrance to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Yeah.
And we see after he was done preaching, in verse 37 in Acts chapter 2, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we go down to verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. So those that did what Peter said, they were being saved, and they were being added to the church. And we've already discussed so far, looking at Ephesians, that there's one body, one church.
Mm-hmm.
They were being added to that one church, that one body. Now, we're talking about the kingdom here.
Right.
So we looked at Daniel, and we talked about Matthew chapter 16. Well, let's go to the book of Colossians. Devin, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Was the book of Colossians, or the letter to the Colossian church, was that written to Christians or non-Christians?
Christians.
Christians. So these are people who have been saved. They have done what Peter has already said way back then. They have been added to the church.
And just to prove that, verse 2 says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae.
There you go. Now, do you mind reading verse 13 for us?
Sure. He has delivered us from the power. This is chapter 1.
Yeah.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Okay. So right here, I'm glad you read verse 14. So what we see is those who have redemption through the blood of Christ, those who have been saved, we can't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
They're saved. What does that also mean if they're saved? They are now delivered from the power of darkness in verse 13 and have been conveyed into the kingdom of his Son.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jesus not talk about a kingdom in Matthew chapter 16?
He did.
He did. Did Daniel not talk about a kingdom in Daniel chapter 2?
He did.
And also chapter 7?
He did.
And did Daniel not say that this kingdom was going to be everlasting?
He did.
And in chapter 7, did he not say that this was going to be the power of the Most High?
He did.
Yeah. Now, here's another passage I want us to go to see that the kingdom is still in play.
Right.
Let's go to the book of Revelation.
All right.
The very last book in our New Testament. All right, we're in chapter 1. Chapter 1 right here. What does verse 9 say?
I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Christ, and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
All right. Did John right here say that, one, he was a brother?
Yes.
What does that mean?
He was a Christian.
He was a Christian. Brothers and sisters in Christ. But he also says that he was in the tribulation with them and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. There are people who will tell you that there is no kingdom established on the earth today. There is a kingdom established, and that is the one church that we read about, that we've been trying to show you in Scripture. It is a kingdom that, of course, that is represented here on earth, but that has heavenly benefits once we leave it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we read about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God or even the church, it's all referring to the same thing. Yes, we have people on the earth who are a part of the kingdom, but once they leave this earth, they are going into the inheritance of the, for sure, eternal kingdom that we will be a part of.
Right.
When we get there.
Yep.
Yeah, so what the writer was saying about us making up, or I should say these men making up a new doctrine and reestablishing a church, restoring a church. The fact of the matter is the church was always there.
Yep.
They, just like many of us today, are emphasizing, stay away from denominational creeds, denominational teachings, and just go straight to the Bible. Because if you go straight to the Bible, you can't go wrong.
That's right. And that's all we want to do. We just want to follow the pattern that we have here in the Bible.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it seems like today a lot of people are just writing off what's written in the Bible. So I don't have anything else for question one.
Nope.
So you want to go to question two?
Let's go to question two.
All right. I'll read this one.
Actually, let's take a pause.
Okay.
All right. But if you don't agree with us, or you do, and you'd like to make a comment or question us about something, go ahead, do it. Comment below on YouTube or Instagram or wherever you may get this. Or you can email us personally at armoredspiritually@gmail.com. We are more than willing to answer your questions. Is there anything else that they need to know?
I don't think so.
All right. Keep on watching and remember to share the gospel.